This is the one with Battersea Power Station.
Obviously.
And more blimps.
Because you can't have enough blimps.
And a sexy maid's outfit.
Ugh, yum.
It's called Age of Steel.
Here we go.
We're still on our endless voyage, all through time and all through space.
With Levine and Angels now, Daleks, Soilers, Zandun, wow.
Tennant, Smith and Eccleston, Gallifrey, where it all began.
Doctor Who is cool again, that was Russell's master plan.
Who back when? Reviewing all new Who there is. Who back when?
Subscribe and rate on iTunes, please.
Rose and Donna, Amy Pond, Rory, Martha and beyond. Join us on this odyssey, what other choice could there be than who back when? Who Back When?
Hello and welcome to episode N020 of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast. I am Ponkin.
And I am, as always, Nicolelli.
Are you always Nicolelli?
Yeah, actually no, not always like a Nicolelli.
And today we are reviewing The Age of Steel.
Bong bong bong.
Bing bong hey.
Yeah, so where we left off in Rise of the Cybermen.
Yeah.
So let's jump in with a little bit, a bite-sized Who.
I want to ask you a question first. I'm sorry. I don't know when we're going to drop these episodes.
Right.
But we recorded the first part of this double feature. What's it called again? The Rise of the Cybermen. Weeks ago.
Yes.
Plural.
Mm.
And we did not like it.
Very much so.
I very much also remember that our energy levels just fizzled out towards the end because it was like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, it took the spark from me.
We came close to ending the podcast.
Yeah, that was it. We had a little discussion afterwards, like, is this working? But no, no.
Yeah. And now we're here in the Punk Plaza studio. And we just watched the DVD. That's right.
Oh,
we
yeah.
watched the DVD.
And where did you get said DVD?
Well, I don't mind telling you, Nick, I got it at Poundland.
Poundland?
Yeah.
For all your BBC DVD needs, where you can pick up a 3-pack of Cherry Coke, Doctor Who, and...
And not just that, it's a DVD with 3 episodes on it, so it's actually 33p per episode.
Wow.
We just watched 33p worth of Who.
That's right. I know you're hosting us, but fuck you, iTunes.
My question was going to be, how do you feel now that you've seen the second part of this? And sub question.
Mm.
Did you remember where this was going to go?
Vaguely, in a sort of loose-ish way, I remember the sort of the major points. But there was a lot in there that I didn't remember. And actually, there was a lot from Rise of the Cybermen that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, same here.
Yeah. No, do you know what? Actually, the resolution of this two-parter is much more satisfying than the first part might lead you to believe.
Agreed.
Yeah. But I'm going to save some of this for the
actual review.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you know what? Fair enough. Fine. Prepare for approximately 1 hour of vitriol, ladies and gentlemen. Let's jump into a bite-sized chunk of Who. Bite-sized chunk
of Who. We pick up where we left off from Rise of the Cybermen, with Doc and Rose et al. All about to be backspaced.
They obviously make it out alive through another astounding feat of Ex Machina.
And now the guerrilla campaign goes in full throttle as our intrepid protagonist...
And Mickey
bid to liberate London.
B-Scow over. You are welcome. God damn it.
Right, so where to start? So the crew is on their knees, ready to accept their fate of deletion, and then out of absolute nowhere, as is his wont.
Yeah, we thought at first that it was his sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's the little light bulb thingy that he got out of the magic TARDIS crystal or whatever.
Yeah, some bullshit.
And it just splooges energy on all these Cybermen that literally melt.
And now, do you know what, dude? That would have been so helpful like 20 seconds ago when all those people got murdered in front of you.
Okay, do you know what that's not what pisses me off.
That's not what pisses me off.
No, because he might have splooged energy on them as well, and then he'd be melting proper humans. That'd be terrible, right?
What? But he
and burned down that beautiful house.
Quite clearly not, but yeah, he was just like, fuck these people.
Okay, that's not what pisses me off about this. So what pisses me off is that immediately after he's splooged the cybers to death with his magic TARDIS crystal, Mickey, or possibly Ricky, or maybe both, who gives a shit, goes, oh no, have you now... Oh, it must be Mickey. He goes, oh my god, have you exhausted all of the TARDIS energy? Mm. And the Doc goes, no, it's fine, don't worry about it, it's going to recharge. It's like constantly recharging. It'll recharge in about 4 hours.
Which upsets me even more. Why the fuck did he do that?
Yeah, why did he fucking sacrifice 10 years of his life, buddy? Hey, Doc, guess what? You are not going to live 10 years less. Because
I feel like I addressed this.
Just because you wanted to do a party trick and ignite this thing But very clearly, he could have just gone, you know what, I'm just going to wait for it, and then it'll start glowing on its own. It's fine, guys. It's okay.
Now, not knowing the intricacies of how one might power a bit of a TARDIS, I think I covered the fact that proportionally 10 years of his life isn't that much.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Okay.
It's still bullshit. It's like giving up a big toe.
Oh, yes, true.
Yeah, would you give up a big toe?
Is a big toe that a percent of...
Would you give up your bell end?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, well, there you go. So
it's
I guess 10 years out
a
of...
Toe, a big toe and a bell end is not an equivocation of body parts. I would give up my... If that was the option, yes, I would give up my big toe in a heartbeat. Both of them, fuck it.
Yeah, and then you'd regret it the next time you had to hurry somewhere. Anyway.
Anyhow.
All right.
So he uses this crystal, which is obviously an example of Ex Machina, in which we just, you know, needed to get out of this situation.
Exactly. Bing bong, bing bong. They're now... oh, wait. Yeah, yeah. This is the moment that really upset you.
Really upset me. Where Pete's Tyler, as a valiant husband...
It's like, no, we got to go back for Jackie.
Absolutely. As, you know, your beloved.
Shall we reenact this, by the way?
Let's
reenact it.
Okay. You be Pete.
Okay.
I'll be the doctor.
Okay. Oh my god! We gotta go back for Jackie!
No, she's dead now.
Okay then.
And that end scene. fuck me. Like, how do you go from I must put myself in harm's way?
Yeah, to save my wife.
Yeah, to, okay, jump in the blue van. She's dead to me now.
Well, she's dead to everyone,
yeah,
apparently.
I don't even know you very well, but I'll take your word for it.
Thanks, guy I just met.
Yeah, that has saved me from a lengthy divorce.
As far as I'm aware, you actually are part of the serving staff.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so they're now in the truck and they're heading off to the place where every crook and evil mastermind.
Before we move forward, I think that the human resistance will always be sponsored by LDV. having watched the Cushing movie,
where everyone has that van,
everyone's got that van, or like that defunct like manufacturer of vans. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Okay. So they're heading to the one place where every single criminal mastermind ever, in Doctor Who and in Sherlock, by the way, as well, like in every major BBC series.
Is it Bedford?
No. It's Battersea Power Station. In fact, Battersea Power Station also appears in that Cushing movie.
Yes, yes it does.
And in the Hartnell original.
Now, just to explain Battersea Power Station to the worldwide listeners.
Used to be a power station.
It used to be a power station. It's now
empty. They do gigs.
And yeah, now they do gigs and like there's like a ski jump competition.
Yeah,
there,
like a Red Bull thing.
Basically, it's a massively imposing piece of architecture. Very cool piece
It looks amazing.
But every single BBC, because you don't, I presume you don't have to pay anyone to fucking use it. Like, it turns up in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. So they're going there, obviously, because that's Lumic's headquarters. Or, like, that's where he's turning people into Cybermen. And en route, Pete, alternate universe Pete, reveals that he is, in fact, secret agent Gemini, who's been spying on Lumic this whole time.
Yeah, so I've got a few things. A, why pick the call sign Gemini, the twin of like...
I think that makes perfect sense.
Why does it make sense? There's only one of him.
Okay, yes, all right. So this is... It makes perfect sense because of how fucking dumb it is. So it is of no relevance to Pete Tyler's universe. It is only of relevance to the Hooniverse.
All right.
And is just sort of a little nudge at, yeah, he's the twin of the dude we met a few episodes ago, as opposed to, he's called the twin because he has a double identity or something.
So the Pete we're supposed to be, isn't it? He just like unilaterally picked the name Gemini, and we're supposed to have, like, he just accidentally happened upon it, even though it has this like great double meaning.
He could have been called Janus.
Yeah.
That would have been, or Jano, or whatever it's called in English. It's like perfect.
Yeah, no,
Two-Face. There you go. Let's call him a twin instead.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
They might as well have called him Parallel Clone. Anyway, so he's a secret agent, whatever, and ipso facto a good guy.
Yeah, so he's been feeding information through to what he thinks are like special forces or like some sort of trained resistance, but he's been feeding through the Preachers, who were introduced in the last episode as Ricky, Jake, and Mrs. Moore. And they're, you know, we're led to believe up to this point, certainly in the last episode, up till this point, these crack team of like underground guerrilla fighters,
yeah.
But they reveal themselves to be basically conspiracy theory nutters.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, correct conspiracy
theories. Yeah, yeah. No, they're perfectly justified in their behaviour, but, I mean, they're all... They're anything so like, but professional.
Instead of being London's most wanted, it's London's most wanted for parking tickets.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, I don't know... I know that's a fun joke, but London's most wanted exists. Like, there are a lot of violent crimes in the city.
I have a really pertinent inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mrs. Moore, would you?
Of course I would.
Yeah, right.
The good of humanity. We need to repopulate the planet.
And she's got a sexy accent.
She does. She's actually Welsh accents are amongst the sexy.
Super sexy.
Yes, absolutely.
Very, very, like a friendly accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I won't do one. I shan't attempt one.
Okay.
But,
fair.
Yeah.
All right. So, blah, 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 blah. Cut to Lumic, who is now issuing the order to cyber everyone.
Yes. But no, he has a very specific, well, he's like, pick geographic location. The city of London. Right. Now, I don't know if you're listening, if you live in a city.
He's taking over all of the UK,
well,
right?
Yeah, no, well, yeah, I guess so. But like, if you live in a major metropolitan city, New York, Paris, whatever, you know that the boundaries are iffy.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck does London mean exactly?
I think it's anything with the London postcode.
What's a London postcode?
That basically means you could take the overground and then have to walk for half an hour and you'd still be in London.
So all the E's, SW, so once you got to Middlesex, you're fine.
It's no longer London.
You're fine, you're fine.
But the thing is that in Middlesex they also have cybers. So at some point, there's like one dude.
At some point, it's like the rain. You can see cybers, but you aren't cybers.
Yeah. Also, he has actually taken over the entire world. Because, spoiler alert, we end this whole thing on Mickey and Jake wanting to go on a romantic getaway in Paris where they also have cybers.
Okay, maybe we just don't see all the orders.
But he very clearly goes, we're just doing London buddies.
Or maybe he stepped up. Maybe it was like rapid prototyping.
Maybe.
Just thought, but anyway.
Speaking of, yeah, we're definitely getting to rapid prototyping.
But yeah, it got very upset for me. It was just like, London. It's like, the fuck does that mean? Tube map, M25, what do you mean?
I don't have an answer for you, Nick. I do not have an answer for you. Okay, whatever. So as he does this, everyone's Bluetooth headset earpod thingy starts beeping for no reason whatsoever. And they all start walking towards Battersea Power Station. And as this happens, it doesn't really happen at the same time, but as it starts to happen, Crane, the old guy from the last episode, he plops his earpod out.
Yes.
And
says, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to take over my brain. And I'm assuming he also heads over to Battersea, but like he takes the like backstage entrance or whatever. Yeah. He goes to his office, essentially. Does not matter. What were we talking about?
We were talking about, so everyone's heading to Battersea Power Station.
Yes. Yes! Oh, there's a line.
Yeah.
There's a line when they first see Battersea, and I think it's the doctor who goes, every person in London is in Battersea Power Station.
All right, so again, for those not familiar with the City of London.
For those not familiar with just basic geometry. Yeah. So Battersea Power Station is a small shape contained within the slightly larger shape of London. It doesn't matter. Anything that is small enough to fit inside anything else will probably experience certain levels of difficulty in containing that larger thing in itself. It's okay, not a fucking TARDIS. It's a power station. No.
Well, I mean, one can, like, you know, if you would, like, not everyone in London is, you know, heel to foot. So if you would squeeze them all in. However, said that...
You couldn't squeeze. How many million?
Well, yeah, this is it. 7 to 9 million people, depending on your definition of London.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but you cannot fit 7 to 9 million people in that building.
In any building, I'm going to say. Any of them.
It's actually probably it's bullshit is what it is.
Absolutely lazy writing.
Whatever.
So our band are going through London trying to figure out exactly what's happening, and the people are wandering on their way to Battersea Power Station, and everyone's being controlled somewhere amidst Crane taking the earpods out, and Mickey and Ricky get separated and are on the run.
There's a pretty tangible will they won't they kind of moment.
I don't see it, but yes. Oh, I think it's just the shitness of the split screen, like, ability to film it. But, okay, there may or may not be quite a lot of, like, ego sexual tension.
If you went to a parallel universe and you met your parallel self, and even if he were such a massive douchebag as Ricky is in this one, you'd totally want to bone yourself, right?
Yeah, well, yes.
I mean, you would obviously do that.
Absolutely.
It's like, now is the time to experiment.
Yeah, I mean, you know exactly what I like, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's put this to the test.
Why not? But I guess the point, moving through this,
yeah.
is that they're, Noel Clarke does his, like, hamming up of, I'm a tough guy, and I'm jaded.
Well, it's like hamming up,
you say. I'm an innocent guy, and I don't want to hurt no one.
And weirdly, neither one of us can act properly.
Yes, absolutely. No.
Okay, sorry.
Fine.
Noel is a good guy, but okay, I have nothing against Noel Clarke. Get over it.
I don't know. He's fine. He's a fine actor.
Yeah. Do you know who's not fine? What? Mickey. Who else? Oh, coincidentally, Ricky.
No. They're fine. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, they do that hamming up of and Ricky throws him a bone, saying, "Actually, you're not so bad."
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, throwing bones.
Stop it. You're not so bad. You know, you must be have a vague brave. In you.
Yeah, it's like it's the moment where up until now, up until now, Ricky has done nothing but belittle Mickey. Mm-hmm. Like, look down on him as this complete coward and loser.
Yep.
But now, all of a sudden, yeah, he respects him.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
So the trajectory is fairly clear. Mickey becomes a real boy. Basically is the trajectory of the story. But anyway, they're running through London. Ricky dies at a chain link fence.
While cybers are just flummoxed by how to traverse this.
Baffled.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How are we going to do this? We have crashed through walls.
We're a bunch of metal men. No, chain link.
Yeah, can't do this.
Yeah.
I can see through it, but it's still there. It's like the thong of walls.
Yeah, but we see that this is the point in which Mickey starts to, develop a spy,
yeah,
as well as a dark heart.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now he grows up a little bit. He runs off, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, this is where we get the remote control moment. Got so it. Meanwhile, Rose, Pete, Doc, and Mrs. Moore are hiding behind like a post box or something, or a car maybe. I think it's a post box.
Fun trivia fact. Yeah. Mrs. Moore's first name is, "Please, sir, can I have some?"
Maybe yeah. They're hiding behind a post box. Cybers approach them. Like, I think maybe the cybers hear them or something.
Mm.
And the doctor takes his sonic screwdriver
and goes, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.
Exactly. And the cybers just walk off. And for a moment there, I thought, oh, did he, like, turn on a car alarm or something?
Actually,
and now they're going
to
investigate?
That's a good point, because
I don't think so.
We mentioned this when we watched.
I think he reprograms them.
Well, the thing is, there's quite clearly a thing that happened that the writers had an explanation for, in quote marks.
But we
just got cut because it's like, that explanation is too stupid even for our viewers.
Or possibly we don't have time.
Yeah. Something like that.
We need to allow for a commercial break.
He just went bleep bloop and then they just fucked off. And it was like, what did you do?
Surely you could have done this every time you encountered
Cybermen. I was really looking forward to the explanation so I could rip the shit out of it on this podcast. But it didn't come. They were just like, nah, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you do whatever you just did?
To everyone.
All the time.
Instead of tormenting the cybers, spoiler alert. Okay, we'll get to that as well. Blah, 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 blah. Mickey returns. He rejoins the others. Reveals that Ricky died. And now he and Jake, who clearly are two members of a boy band. Jake in particular is very clearly a boy band boy.
I'm pretty sure the actor who plays Jake was in Biker Grove, but yeah, anyway, move on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm English.
I don't understand this. It doesn't matter. He looks like he looks like the guy who tries to be the bad boy in a boy band.
Yes.
These two now run off in one direction and everyone else goes in another direction.
Walk off in one direction.
Completely unintentional.
Oh, on the same day that poor old Zane left us.
Oh, yeah, I know. So, yeah, exactly, to put this into a cultural context for you guys.
Yeah, I'm so old.
Also, today,
I had to look up who that guy was.
Yeah, I know, same here.
Yeah.
I saw Darren Brown tweeted about him. I was like, who the fuck is this dude? Yeah, also to put this into a cultural context, today, 10 years ago, since the episode Rose, right?
Yes, yeah.
Since the Doctor Who revival.
Absolutely, which is...
Oh, let's raise a beaker.
Let's. You'll hear this clink. Sorry about that. What a lot of fun we've had in 10 years.
Yeah.
Cool.
Quite a fair bit.
Yep. So, okay. Well, they run off in NSYNC.
Yep. And the others head off to Battersea, and there they also split up. And the plan is now, Doc and Mrs. Please Can I Have Some More, they're going to go down into, like, the cooling tunnels underneath Battersea and, like, infiltrate it from below. And Bros and Pete are going to put in fake ear pods and go into the actual plant.
Pretending to be... The plan is no clearer than that.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just going to get in there and do... stage two.
Shut up!
and then Mickey and Jake. Rewind a little bit. When Ricky is revealed to have bought the farm, there's sort of a tender or fraught moment with Jake where, you know, he turns up. It's like, who are you? Are you Ricky? Are you Mickey? And, you know, Rose said, you're Mickey, aren't you? And there was a split second where I really thought the writer would be like, he'd go, I'm Ricky, and he'd just assume his
I thought the exact same thing.
But he didn't.
And that would have been the better move. Then we would have had a separate scene where Rose mourns him, and probably mourns him, like, expresses her mourning to what she thinks is Ricky.
Yes.
Right? Which would have been amazing.
So hard.
And he just keeps a poker face. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, podcast now, we are rewriting the serial
better.
And then they have this tender goodbye, and new Ricky now can say something like, I think I see what he saw in you. I understand what he saw in you.
Rose would know somehow that she was speaking to the person, you know, like, there'd be some ambiguity.
There would be something along the lines of, I see a lot of him in you.
Yeah.
And then, oh, holy shit, dude.
That'd be so much better.
Oh, where were we when they were penning this script?
I have no idea.
God damn it.
Yeah, yeah, anyway. So that, I just thought that was pertinent to mention.
Yeah.
It's
really funny that we have the same theory.
Well, the thing is, I think we're led up the garden path, as it were, with that. I think that that's exactly what, you know, the writers would have
done.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but it's not like...
But they've quite clearly bailed out in some sort of editorial meeting where they're just like...
Maybe that's too much.
Yeah, some shit like that. Because it's like, that was absolutely... Why would you have a scene where the two people that would care most about those would then interrogate you as to which one you are? It's because at that point, he has a crossroads. He has a choice. He could pick.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely can.
And we're told that. Like, he could have just turned up and went, Ricky died.
Yeah.
Look at it. That could have been fine. But...
Okay.
Yeah, that's annoying. So anyway, back to the plan. Pete and Rose are off to infiltrate Battersea Dog's home.
Yeah.
The cooling towers for the Doctor and...
Mrs. Moore.
And Jake and Mickey are going... Going to the Zeppelin.
Yeah, they're going to zip it up.
Yeah. Again, not fully clear why.
Why?
I think they're
like
going...
The signal!
They're going to fuck up the signal.
Exactly, because the Doc used his sonic screwdriver to... Holy shitballs! Is this the first time in New Who that he uses the sonic screwdriver not to manipulate something, but to scan something?
Is that true?
I think it might be. I don't remember him scanning stuff with the sonic screwdriver up until now, but in this case, he points it at the Zep, scans it.
Can't be all in New Who.
And then just goes.
Eccleston did.
No, I don't think Eccleston ever did. Ladies and gentlemen of podcast land, if that's like a true science fact. Freaking high five us.
Absolutely. Make that happen.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, it's like, there's this big red, like, satellite fucking dish on the side of this giant Zeppelin. It's like, bleep, 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 bleep. Oh, there it is. It's like, really? Really?
Yeah.
How old are you? And where have you? Like, fuck.
That's what he does as well. He makes those noises with his mouth.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
And Mickey Ricky goes, you just made those sounds with your mouth. And he's like, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Mickey, oh, fuck it. Come
at that point. Yeah. Mickey tries to wake him up. He's like, actually, you're just a hobo. None of this exists. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's the plan. We've got three bands of couples off to save the world.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Every Cyberman is an adult. Right? So is now the rest of London, or at least like an adolescent, I mean, there are no kids, there are no babies.
Not
so
that we're made privy to.
What I'm thinking is that maybe babies and kids, like maybe there's an age limit to...
You can't get
the earplugs when you're a baby.
Basically, all children...
I think London is now...
All children under 5 are rendered down into mechanical lubricant.
Oh, yum.
Yeah?
Right. That's okay, fine. But then there's like all these other 5 to 18 year olds
I love
that we
you
don't
just
see.
Said fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. they're in a parallel dimension. You don't have to feel bad about it. All right. So what I'm thinking is London is now awash with, like, just really sad orphans.
No, they haven't noticed. They've just been tweeting this entire time. They haven't looked up.
Yeah, but there are babies there as well.
Yeah, they're tweeting. I don't know if you've seen six-year-olds now. They're tweeting.
Six-year-olds aren't babies.
I'm saying...
There are fucking toddlers dying in London
right now.
All
the children under five, mm-hmm. mechanical lubricant. Oh, yeah, your premise. I've a very strict age band here.
I feel really bad. Not so much for the kids, but for, like, let's say pets, for example. Here's another thing. Did you see a single senior citizen cyber? Or, like, about to be cybered? I did not.
Maybe they just get straight up deleted and not upgraded.
Oh, that's very possible. But in this case, like, everyone who's in Battersea, they've gone there because they've been manipulated to go there. Mm. They haven't been rounded up by cybers. They're just, like automatons. They're just wandering towards Battersea.
Yeah.
So does this mean that there are lots of old people, like old people's homes, the staff, they've all gone to Battersea, and all the people who live there, all the residents of old people's homes, they're just like, hello?
Well, that's an extra level of darkness that this episode in no way needed. We've already got possibly the most death and torture in an episode of New Who up till now, but we're also going to be just like, there are just geriatrics and infants just
and dogs and cats.
Dying from, like, malnutrition and shit.
So, anyway, let's carry on with the show.
Yeah.
Doc and Mrs. Moore, what do? They go underground.
They go underground, and they're in the cooling tunnels, which are full of dormant Cybermen.
Yeah, why are they dormant?
Wait, you've stopped me at the first hurdle. They do just say, you know,
they're on ice, I think they said.
Some shit, but it's like, why? It's like, your whole point is to colonise London or whatever you're trying to do, assimilate, a rate of knots. Why? Why have anything in reserve?
Yeah, it makes zero sense.
Anyway, they have.
Yeah.
They
So they walk through this tunnel, blah, 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 and... they encounter... Actually, they kill one Cyberman. She throws, an EMP on him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they call it an electromagnetic bomb, but it's an EMP, right?
It is, yeah. Shuts it down, but not quite. It's still alive. And Doc opens it up, and we find that they have an emotion... What was it?
I don't know. We got my Alphix. A, it's got a nervous system.
Yeah, but, there's no flesh in there. It is all machine and, an artificial nervous system.
Yeah, something like
that. So this is not a human being wearing iron and, or steel.
It's a brain.
It's a brain inside a robot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Which goes... Well, I mean, no, that's exactly what it is. Mm. They're just brains. This is why they all look the same. They all are the same height and whatever. It's all the same mechanical body, but with different brains inside, right? Which goes against what we've seen in later versions of Cybermen. Like Danny Pink, recently, we saw...
he was inside a metal suit,
basically.
One iteration of Cybermen doesn't mean that they're all exactly the same.
No, that's true.
They've had upgrades, they've done other things. Maybe they had a product redesigned at some point. They just thought, nah, fuck it, we're going to have full people.
This time, pastels.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going for the, the iCyberman 6C.
Cyberman Mini.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, anyway. So they disable the thing, find that there's a chip in there that, inhibits emotions or something.
Yeah.
And it is now broken. And for that reason, the brain inside the Cyberman is... undergoing such tremendous psychological torment.
Yes, yeah. In fact, it's again another very sad moment where...
It's terrible.
The brain was of a young woman that was on the eve of her wedding night.
Yeah.
Which is fucking distressing, right?
Yeah, it's awful. But she doesn't know what's going on.
Well, I mean, so more to this. The doctor puts her out of her misery.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So, a bit of euthanasia there.
Yeah.
Which usually he wrangles over those sort of decisions.
Not in this one. Euthanasia, I've brought you by the BBC.
Motherfucker, yeah.
Yeah.
You're done. And then Mrs. Moore dies from an unsuspected cyber attack.
Yeah. They realise Doc's an alien and take him away.
Yeah, yeah.
While he's being taken away, coincidentally, Rose and Pete are going to be taken away as well. Because they're now inside the factory.
Yeah, they were inside the factory and showed some emotion or something to that effect because they were confronted by the Cyberman that is now Jackie, or was Jackie.
Yeah, the Cyberwoman.
Cyberperson. That was Jackie.
You sexist.
You're sexist. Jackie.
Yeah.
I don't understand, really, why Pete and Rose are taken anyway.
I don't understand why Rose is taken. She's just one other civilian, and as far as the Cyberman who used to be
Jackie
is concerned, she must recognize Rose as, oh, you were also at my party earlier tonight. You were just part of the serving staff. Prepare to be cybered. Yeah, you will now be upgraded. The other person, Pete, I get that because he was like the right-hand man of their leader. Hmm. So I get that they want to bring him aside and maybe he gets a special metal suit or whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's alloys or something.
Yeah.
It's like a sunroof.
Or maybe he gets to keep a little bit more of his personality. I mean, they turn their own leader into a cyber.
Yeah.
But he gets to keep his full personality.
Yeah, there's so much bullshit about this is that in some point in the episode, we're told that they have like a hive mind.
Yeah.
That they say to the human, we all think the same. Yeah. We're all the same.
But
except
they
quite clearly have a conversation with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah, and not just that, like, they have conversations with each other, but while Doc and Mrs. Moore were walking through the tunnel, they, like, there was a trip wire or, like, a laser or whatever. One cyber sees them, and instead of just every cyber suddenly knowing that they're there, he uses a computer. He is a computer. Yeah. He is a fucking cybernetic organism.
Right.
He uses a computer to contact other cybernetic organisms who then subsequently go up to a screen and look at the screen.
Also, but there's also a chain of command there. One says to the other, you do this, and it's like, it's bizarre.
It's very clearly not a hive mind.
Yeah.
That was just something they popped in there because it was very, like, it's Borg inspired.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next?
So at that point, we're back with Mickey and Jake in the blimp.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So they've chloroformed their way into chloroformed everyone in their way into the Zeppelin.
Oh, I have a question. Oh shit, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off. Alright, the reason they chloroform the guards who are there guarding the Zepp is that those guards have not been cybered. They are humans. Here's a question for you. Why isn't it being guarded by Cybermen? Why aren't these guards walking off to the factory to be turned into Cybermen? There is no explanation except that the writers went, how are we going to get them into the Zepp? Chloroform. Chloroform doesn't work on cybers. Oh, you know what? No one's going to notice.
Or she's like, there are humans. Why aren't they guarded by Cybermen?
Because...
Shut up. That's why. That's Russell T. Davis's answer to fucking everything.
Yeah.
And anyway,
okay, so that's a
very good point. That's stupid.
Sorry to have interrupted
that. That's so stupid. Anyway, they chloroform their way into, by maybe they're just like four willing participants, into the Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And they see what is supposed to be a defunct Cyberman. Which Mickey, in his infinite amount of fucking
wisdom,
that he's done, he's like, oh, yeah, this one's empty. How do you know?
It has no brain.
How do you know? Like, where did all this fucking weird knowledge
and expertise also, by the way, spoiler alert, it is not defunct. It is right there.
Yeah.
It's quite clearly guarding the place, right?
But we get to see some of Ricky's resourcefulness and uses a cyber person that comes to kill them against them, and he breaks into the controls, some shit.
Yeah.
And then disrupts the fucking signal in the end.
Yeah.
But in between that, he hacks a lot of shit.
Because he's a monster hacker.
No.
Oh, wait, we need to get Crane in this mix as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that, but I know why he's a hacker.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Buffalo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he hacked into Unit.
He did.
He has been proven to be a master hacker.
Yeah.
He actually probably typed in Buffalo because that's the only password the BBC uses for any computer.
But anyway,
is that what you were going to say? Is that what you know?
Yeah. No, I was thinking, was it the school thing?
It was
Rose,
before then. Even it was Aliens of London and World War III.
Yeah.
The Doctor gets him to hack into the unit's computer by typing in the password Buffalo or lowercase. No numbers. There's not even a capture. And then you can guide nukes.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So he's proven that he's a hacker.
Okay. So he.
But in order, the reason we do that, you've got to tell the story of Crane, because that's the whole thing that's happening.
So we have already mentioned Crane took his earbuds out because he was like, fuck you, Lumic. I know your game.
Yeah.
Then he turns up voluntarily to Lumic's headquarters. This is pre Lumic being
cybered. Is he the cyber commander or something?
Controller.
Like? Controller.
So
nice one.
Controller, yeah. Not even senior cyber controller. No. Just normal cyber controller. Anyway,
It's like the comptroller. Yeah.
He gets there and he feigns as if he wants to be a willing volunteer for which seems like, if you were so willing, why wouldn't you leave your earpods in?
Oh, he claimed that they were broken.
He did have a fair play. He's a clever old.
Frasier.
Yeah, he basically gets close to Lumic and yanks all his life support ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, which leaves Lumic gasping for breath and revealing to the fact that he didn't really want to be cybered until he was about to die anyway. Yeah. We brought this up in the last podcast. Why would you want any of this? Like, your whole thing is to live forever, but quite clearly this is not living forever. This is something else entirely. Like, you have no access to your memories, emotions.
I think he does, but no one else does.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, he does seem to when he's now the comptroller. It's just funny that one would set this out as a plan when, like, surely you would strive towards keeping your brain, emotions and stuff, and the body suit. Like, why would you invent a chip to, like, inhibit all your humanness?
And you know what? It seems to me like he's pretty good at wielding technology. He can probably fix himself.
Maybe, I don't know.
Like, whatever's wrong with his body, I'm thinking he can probably fix it. He's built a new race of sentient robots that interface with human brains. Pretty sure he can fix his gummy leg.
Maybe not. Maybe that's a step too far.
All right.
But anyway, so Crane has essentially doomed Lumic into the upgrade process also. He's taken away for special upgrading, right?
Lumic. Yeah, exactly. Because he is then turned into the cyber controller.
Yeah.
Which is really weird, because why does he have a bit of plexiglass on his forehead to, like, reveal his brain? No one else does. Why does he have light bulbs in his eyes? No one else does.
Because those are the optional upgrades. Like,
he gets a throne.
He gets the Dyson throne. Like, they're just like bits of Hoover.
Yeah, it's the Game of Thrones throne, but made out of
bits of air conditioning unit. Like, that's exactly what it is.
Pretty much.
Yeah, better, in fact.
Okay. Mickey. And Jake, they're on the Zep. They watch on a TV screen what is happening in the throne room.
So, at this juncture, the comptroller, well, he's not summoned, but the Doctor, Rose, and Pete have all been captured.
Yeah, and they're all, like, they're basically just buying time. Somehow the Doc knows that Mickey is watching them on the CCTV.
Which is full bullshit.
Yeah, there is no way he could know this.
No.
Yeah, cameras don't work that way.
Yeah.
And he starts giving Mickey clues that only a hacker would understand as to how he can punch a code into the system that will turn off the emotion inhibitor thingy. Yeah.
And how this works is, as he says, a bunch of cryptic nonsense, which sounds like nonsense,
and stalls.
Mickey punches this code, this sort of six, like, alphanumeric code into his phone, texts Rose.
It. Yeah. Rose throws her text message phone.
Her, like, 2002 Samsung phone or some shit.
Yeah.
2005.
And the doc slams it onto a perfectly compatible Samsung circa anno 2002 doc.
Now, let me take a little sidebar and talk directly to the CEO of Samsung.
Okay.
If at any point in your meetings, in your Outlook calendar, there is a meeting marked for, you know, meet with crazy, maniacal, warmongering, fucking, you know, horrible person to figure out how we can integrate Samsung products into his dastardly plan,
decline
and don't send a response. Why does that exist?
By the way, it's not like there's a dock for every conceivable mobile phone.
Yeah. Right?
There is one.
Yeah, and it's perfectly.
Yeah. And the dock just slams it down there. And as a consequence, everyone who either had... Well, everyone is taken out of their trance.
Yeah.
So they are now perfectly aware of who they are, regardless of whether they are out in the open.
Yeah.
Or if they are currently in the process of being hacked to bits and having their brain torn out of their cranium.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are now feeling pain. Or if they are or have already had their brain transplanted against their will and plonked inside a fucking toaster, they are now perfectly aware of what's going on, and they are so sad, so heartbroken, so full of torment and anguish and sadness and misery that their heads literally explode. It blows their minds.
I don't see the problem.
It's so fucked up as an idea.
It's so horrific.
And he doesn't anguish about it at all. In fact, he delights in slamming the Samsung phone.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
And we were saying as well, I think you were saying this when we watched the episode. Yeah. We watched this just now, moments before we pressed record, ladies and gentlemen, that he literally just went, that's the only option we have.
It's like you have literally explored no other options.
Yeah. You've heard one suggestion and you're just running with it.
Just like, fuck these people. Ha 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 ha.
So yeah, now they've saved the day. Let's just wrap this up.
Saved the day by having tens of thousands of people torture themselves into oblivion.
Yeah, and while they're doing that, while their heads are exploding left, right and center, they run up to the roof, get picked up by the Zeppelin, by Mickey and Jack.
In a slightly heroic moment for Mickey.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And then Lumic suddenly is after them, and he reenacts the end of Die Hard 1 as he falls down onto Battersea. Yeah.
Okay, quick question there.
Go for it.
So Lumic, the cyber controller, is hanging on to
Comptroller
is hanging on to the rope ladder from the Zeppelin.
Yes,
chasing,
I know exactly what you're going to ask.
Sonic screwdriver. Does it work on rope?
Well, apparently it does. Apparently, it doesn't work on wood.
Do we have previous?
But it works on rope, apparently.
Does that happen ever at any other point? Because surely,
not that I know.
I mean, like, depending on the type of rope, it's just a bunch of twine, which is a bunch of, like...
Well, frankly, like, I'm not entirely sure why it doesn't work on wood. It can cause vibrations in anything. Why couldn't it, like, shatter wood? But for some reason, it just cannot. But wood is, like, it's organic matter. Rope... I mean, depending on what kind of rope it is, as you said, it may very well be organic matter.
This is what I'm saying. Like, most traditional rope is just like bits of plant, right? Like,
I have no idea how you make rope.
Anyway.
Regardless, yeah, he, in a very carefree manner, in a very sort of nonchalant, I don't need this thing, it's just a tool, like, drops it, lets Pete catch it, and Pete, who has never seen, let alone operated, this device, sets it at the right frequency or whatever to shatter the rope, and thus...
dispatching cyborg.
Causing him to tumble to his doom.
Probably not the worst... like, example of, like, just some stupid ex machina in this episode.
Okay, check this out. The cyber comptroller is electronic.
Mm.
We've already, in this episode, seen the Doctor remote control cybers. Why doesn't he use it himself to, like, get the comptroller to, like,
we don't know that he remote controlled the cybers.
Okay, sure. Surely he can get the cyber comptroller to just let go by using the thing. Or he can just shatter him from above.
Yeah, it's not satisfying.
And in fact, it does work on organic matter. There was an audiobook that JD and I reviewed called Orbis, in which, I can't remember who it is, some squid character uses the sonic screwdriver to basically fry and blow up a crab person or something.
Right.
So if you can do that, surely you can do the same. Okay, whatever.
All right, okay.
Problem solved. Who stays behind?
Mickey.
Boom.
To fill the void that is Ricky.
Yeah.
And carry on the fight.
It's a shame. He really wanted to fill his void.
There is a lot of cyber terrorism out there still.
Yeah, in Paris, in fact.
In Paris.
And he and Jack... Jake. They're going to take their
LD van to Paris.
Yep.
Which, I mean, okay... How would one administrate that? Do you get the channel tunnel?
I was
going to
say.
Surely, like, okay, I will wave you through, sir. Enjoy your trip. On the other side, it's completely Cybermen. Calais is just Cybermen.
I reckon they're going to go to Dover. They're going to hijack a boat. They're going to go over to Calais. Boom. Problem solved, man.
Do you think so?
Yeah. And now there are two dudes who clearly do not speak a lick of French in Paris.
What's delete in French?
That's a really good question. See, I don't know either. Yeah, and now they're in France, and they have to team up with the French resistance, La Résistance.
Yeah.
And they are, like, this is a great spin-off, by the way. And now we have the French cyber adventures with the two sort of quirky English people. Sure. No, one English person and one, where was the other? No, he was also English.
Yeah, it was Geordie.
It was a Geordie. in France with a resistance who are literally like they've been taken from René's Cafe. Against cybers. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll watch that. I'll watch the shit out of that.
I think that would make a really good spin-off. Hey, BBC, I hope you're listening. Yeah. Copyrights.
So they're off for a romantic getaway in Paris, which is cool.
Yeah. And then the final scene of the episode, Rose and the Doctor, they materialise in our universe in Jackie's kitchen.
No, not the final scene. Well, I want to go penultimate. Rose reveals herself.
You're right.
In a sort of cryptic fashion.
Very important
as,
scene.
As his daughter, and he basically freaks out and goes, I ain't got no babies. Like, yeah. You ain't get no check from me.
I think mainly he's distressed. I mean, he just bails ASAP. Muy pronto, he just bails. And I think the main reason he does that is that up until now, in this double episode, well, ever since he met her at the end of episode one, he has done nothing but fantasize about eating her out. And now he realizes, holy shit, this is my parallel universe daughter.
Oh, what's the time? Oh, I gotta go.
I need to go wash my mouth out with soap because you have no idea what I've been thinking about.
Inject my brain with soap.
Please cyber me.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's true, but okay. We'll go with that.
He's been thinking about munching down on his own daughter.
As an operating theory, I'm willing to accommodate.
Yum.
If you stop making noises, I'm willing
My name is Pete.
Willing to accommodate it as a theory.
You're wearing... Oh my god, we didn't even point this out. She's been wearing her maid's outfit the entire time.
It is, I'm a fan.
Obviously, Pete has been thinking about this.
You stop.
By the way, she was at the top of the ladder. Pete was at the very bottom. Every time he looks up, he is checking out his daughter's upskirt. He doesn't know. To him, it's just like, she's a maid, she's legal.
Those are the two criteria, ladies and gentlemen, for sexual congress. She's a maid, she's legal. Throw her back in the van. That's awful. That's genuinely awful.
You got the whole van in? Oh yeah, van, yeah, the obviously. Van. Yeah.
It's been there. He fucks off. The Doctor and Rose head back to
Jackie.
Oh, there is a point as well where Mickey departs, and they're like, "Oh, we can't come back to see you because shut up." That's why.
Because it's impossible to go to parallel universes except you're there
you're
now.
Literally there now. Not impossible. In fact, very much the opposite of impossible.
Yeah.
Terribly possible. Just because it's an accident doesn't mean it's impossible.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Just makes it difficult.
Whatever. They fuck off home. And then, Rose finds her mum just making a brew.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously
boom.
It's a scene.
Yeah. Very, very touching.
Yeah.
End of, what's this called again? Age of Steel.
Age of Steel. Yeah.
End of the double feature that is Rise of the Cybermen. That we basically, the review of which we basically slept through.
Yeah.
And Age of Steel, the conclusion. Ridiculous collage of plot holes that we were very alert for.
We really were, yeah. This time,
I'm really proud of us.
Yeah, I'm glad. I really felt like destroying something today.
Reviews. Go for it.
All right. Where to start? It really did pick up for me. I don't know whether it was just my general countenance today or that the writing was better, but I really felt that the second episode of the two was much stronger. You know, there were resolutions there for lots of things. So Mickey and Ricky, so Mickey becoming a real boy, Rose and finding a father. The Doctor didn't really have any character development.
No.
If anything, it was all very shallow from him. He was just like, yeah, fuck these people, do whatever, we're going home, peace out. It didn't really explore the darkness of the Doctor. And like I said, in later episodes, I'm pretty sure, and in fact, in previous episodes, he wrangles over decisions like this more so. And actually, there was a really annoying trait in this episode specifically that he basically just kept pointing out that he's brilliant.
Like, yeah. Oh, you're right.
You're a genius, except I'm in the room, or I'm brilliant, or you shouldn't say that because I'll fuck you up. Like, and it was just like absolutely not backed up with, usually it goes, Doctor does something brilliant, says an arrogant thing about how brilliant he is. Except this time he just said about how brilliant he was multiple times, which again annoyed the shit out of me. And Tennant overacted a lot.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, we pointed this out every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was kind of.
I have a question for you. Sorry to interrupt you. Do you remember what you gave the last episode?
It was low. It certainly was low.
I don't remember what I gave it.
I want to give parity or like 0.1 above or some shit. So let's go with a 1.9.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
1.9.
Mm.
Interesting. Okay, all right.
My turn. I did not invest a lot of energy in the last episode's mini-review, as in part one of this double feature. So I'll make a slightly greater effort this time around. I'm going to speak to something that you said a moment ago. You said there was no character development on the part of the Doctor, which is completely true. But on top of that, a lot of his behavior was uncharacteristic. We have the euthanasia scene, which I don't think... I didn't realize that was something I was going to say today. We have a scene in which the Doctor performs euthanasia on a Cyberman, which I completely agree with what he does in that scene, but it seems as though...
He does it lightheartedly.
Yeah, he really does.
He's like, all right, fuck you.
Boom, done, problem solved. There is zero remorse, zero sadness in his eyes, in his demeanor, when he dooms thousands of Cybermen.
He does do, just to cut you off slightly, is that he does do twice in this
oh,
episode.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. And it's like, are you, mate? Like, just...
Yeah, normally, I actually do buy it. Normally when he says it, it's like, oh, well, that's his shtick. That's what he does, and I believe him. He empathizes with any living creature.
Yeah.
But... in this case, I don't buy it.
No.
I really don't. But that's a good point, saying, yeah, he definitely did do that. But I feel like he was uncharacteristic.
Oh. As a parallel of the sorries, there's a great amount of sorries, I'm so sorries, in, what was the one, the 51st century with the hospital? What was that called?
New Earth?
New Earth, yes. So he looks at, you know, when he opens it, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. And then it's the same, sorry, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to, but perhaps we could sound like all them back to back.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, fine, I'll do that. Are you so, so sorry? Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
We have something that is... it has incredible potential for profundity. We meet Jackie Tyler pre and post being cybered. And that could have been turned into something incredibly interesting. Not just from like the point of view of Jackie, let's maybe have a little bit more interaction with her. But fine, when you've elected, when the BBC has elected to like just let her disappear in the background and Pete actually goes, which one was it? Like basically they all look the same. At that point, we don't really get to see him struggle with this. We don't really get to see Rose struggle with this. There is one single scene where they tell the Doctor, oh, by the way, we saw my mum and she's now a cyber. Holy fuck, I'm completely distraught. All right, off on adventures we go. Yeah. Like, it's disparate. Their emotional reactions do not make sense. So I think that's just a missed opportunity in a way. Mickey is... I'm going to say it. I do not dislike him.
Yay! Take that one, dear fucking editor. You know, like, you put that one on the CV, Noel.
Put that on the cover of this DVD that I bought for £1. I do not dislike Mickey in half of this double feature. Ricky, however, is a complete tool bag, so I'm very pleased that he died. There are too many plot holes for me to fully appreciate this serial. Mm. Oh, hang on. Here's one more missed opportunity. The Doctor makes an actual reference back to the 10th Planet, which, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the next episode in Classic Who that we will be reviewing.
Yes.
Holy crap, am I looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Like, so much, especially now.
Kit Pedler.
Kit Pedler. But especially now that we've done the first revival cyber, yeah? Or cyber revival.
Mm.
The Doctor actually makes a reference to that. He says it was the same in our universe. They came from a small planet and then they spread across the universe or something like that. Mm. Why isn't that explored further? Holy crap.
Well, because this serial and many others like it in New Who just they do sort of pointless callbacks as a little nod, you know, but it has no substance.
Yeah, but I really feel like this was... they could have made more of it, and I understand that most of the audience hasn't seen The 10th Planet, but still, I think it's a missed opportunity because you have 50 years, freaking God, you have 50, well, at this point, you have 40 years of history behind you. Let's use that just to create some gravitas for this creature. There's no scene of like, oh, but there are certain differences, or here's something I've done to them in the past. By the way, I've encountered them like 50 times. Here's how I've fixed it in the past. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I'm going to say it's better than the first one. I cannot remember what I gave the first one. But at this particular moment in time, I feel like giving this a 2.1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a strong score.
Yeah, it's more than it deserves. But I'm just really emotional about suddenly not disliking Mickey. Also, we're rid of Mickey.
We're rid of Mickey.
I will never, well, not for a while. I will not for a while need to tag Mickey in an episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so all right. Episode over, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
Are you following Nick on Twitter?
Are you, though? Actually, a lot of you probably are, but it's okay. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're so full of yourself. if you're not, then you definitely should. He is at Nickalele. That's like ukulele, but with Nick.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, I guess so. And in a reciprocal, in no way forced fashion.
Fuck you.
Are you following? Who? No, Ponkin. Let's let JD sing it out for us.
Ponken. Ponkin.
Thanks, JD.
Thanks.
See, that's how you do it with oomph.
With oomph.
With oomph
and chutzpah.
Yes.
In other words,
and panache.
Know. Yeah, absolutely.
What's another good word?
Razzmatazz.
Yes, excellent words.
Okay.
Catch us in the next episode. The next classic is going to be The First Cyberman, The Tenth Planet.
Yeah.
Which you and I will be reviewing.
Hell yeah.
Hells yeah. I'm not going to have to do that as a solo. The next New Who adventure is going to be... What's it called?
The Idiot Lantern.
The Idiot Lantern?
The Idiot Lantern.
The Idiot's Lantern.
The Idiot's Lantern. Sorry.
It's basically, colloquial term for the TV.
It was a Freudian slip.
I think I grew up with it being called the Idiot Lantern. But yeah, anyway.
And audio, as it has been for a while, the next one is going to be We're in Dawn. We'll do that when JD returns to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been a treat.
Haven't you just? You just sat there so patiently whilst we rambled.
Yeah, well, some of them have been driving.
Haven't they?
No, probably. Listening to us on their commute.
Little minx.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yep.
Catch you next time. Rock on and chow. No?
Okay. I think chow is where we should leave.
Okay.
Grant.
Boom.
Blammo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of who back when. Tell your friends. Don't have any friends? No problemo. Tell some strangers. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word. Are you on Google Plus? Then find us on Google Plus. That's plus who back when. And when you do, tell us why you're on Google Plus. Who back when just got its very own Twitter account. No lie. So give us a follow. You guessed it. That's @whobackwhen. All in one word. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really, really would, but as thanks, we will transmigrate your iTunes nom de plume into the credit list of trailers for fake Doctor Who audiobooks produced by Who Back When. Have a poke around our bonus episodes to make more sense of that. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or, still funny, Audio Who Review. Cha-chow.
Who back when?